McGonagall is the best-selling author of 2011's Reality is Broken, Why Games Make Us Better, and How They Can Change the World. She's created and deployed award-winning games, sports, and secret missions in more than 30 countries for partners that include the International Olympics Committee, the American Heart Association, the World Bank Institute, and the New York Public Library. Jane's games challenge players to tackle real-world problems, poverty, hunger, and climate change through planetary-scale collaboration. Her best-known work includes Evoke, Superstruct, World Without Oil, Cruel to Be Kind, Find the Future, and The Lost Ring. Her games have been featured in the New York Times, Wired, The Economist, and on MTV, CNN, and NPR. Jane is also a future forecaster. She's the director of games research and development at the Institute for the Future, a nonprofit research group in Palo Alto, California. Her future forecasting work has been featured in Vanity Fair, The New Yorker, Oprah Magazine, The New York Times Science Section, and many more. Jane holds a PhD from the University of California in performance studies and has consulted and developed internal game workshops for more than a dozen Fortune 500 companies. She's taught game design and game theory at UC Berkeley and the San Francisco Art Institute. She enjoys speaking to global audiences. Perhaps you've seen her extremely popular TED Talk. A former New Yorker, she now lives in San Francisco with her husband. Today, Jane stops by the program to speak about her newest title, Super Better, which outlines her process, a game, that has helped nearly 500,000 players tackle real-life health challenges, such as depression, anxiety, chronic pain, and traumatic brain injury. Welcome, Jane, and thanks for stopping by the Book Report.
My pleasure.
I don't think of myself as a gamer, though I do play Words with Friends. But I have a 20-something-year-old son who, in my opinion, spends way too much time on video games. So is your book for me, and why?
Sure. Well, absolutely, because we know now from years of research that the best way that people can actually benefit from the games that they play is by having conversations with their loved ones about how the games are making them stronger. So, you know, your son, for example, may feel like the game helps him be more resilient in the face of setbacks. He might feel that it's improving his communication and coordination skills with teammates. Maybe he just feels it makes him more creative. Having conversations about what skills and abilities that our favorite games build up make us more likely to use those same skills and abilities to solve problems in our everyday lives. So you absolutely, you could read this book, you could start those conversations and help your son not, you know, be addicted to video games, but really to use them as a source of strength to improve his real life.
What do you say to a parent who worries that when a kid is spending so many hours on a video game that he's isolated from, you know, the bigger society?
Yeah, well, I mean, lots of things you should keep in mind. First of all, kids should not really be playing games in isolation all the time. Unfortunately, we know that 3 out of 4 gaming hours with kids today are spent playing games with people they have relationships with in everyday life, with their siblings, with their friends, with their parents, with their classmates. And that's really important because a lot of the benefits that we associate with playing games come from the way that they improve and strengthen our real relationships. You know, we know that young kids who play games with their parents are more likely to come to their parents with a real-life problem, to talk to them honestly about their problems and to ask for real help, because playing games sort of creates that model for parents as your ally, you know, not just an authority figure, but somebody who works with you to overcome challenges. So you should basically, if you're a parent, you have to play with your kids. You have to get involved. They shouldn't be alone playing by themselves. It's a really profound opportunity to strengthen your bond and to play with them. And even if they're playing games you don't want to play, you talk to them about it. You ask them questions. You know, what does this game make you good at? What does it take to succeed in this game? And then they start to think, oh, you know, I do have these skills and abilities that the game is improving. And that's the pathway to using those skills in real life.
Okay. Why the title of your new book, Super Better?
Yeah, well, you know, Super Better, the book, is really looking at how we can use games not just to solve problems more effectively in our real lives, but also if we're facing extreme challenges, you know, an illness, an injury, a trauma, or grief, how can we use the same mindset that we approach to be so resilient and so determined in games to stay engaged with our toughest challenges, to not escape, you know, to not be overwhelmed by anxiety and stress. And there is a scientific term for the kind of mindset that really seems to produce those positive results. It's called post-traumatic growth, which is related to post-traumatic stress disorder, but it's the kinds of positive outcomes that you can have after dealing with a really extreme challenge. And post-traumatic growth is kind of a wonky term. So I use the term super better instead. It means that you're not just, you know, getting back to normal. You're becoming better than you were before, stronger than you were. You know, how you have more courage to lead your life according to what really matters to you and not what others expect of you. And so that's what super better means, to having that post-traumatic growth in the face of really tough challenges.
You know, I was so fascinated. You wrote about Snow World and its effects on burn victims. Can you talk about that game?
Sure. Yeah, you know, in the first part of the book, I focus on actual video games, not just ways of thinking that are like video games, but real games that you can play to have a positive impact on health and happiness. And Snow World is one of the games that's been extensively studied. It's a 3D virtual reality game where you're wandering through this like wonderful snow fantasy land, and you throw snowballs at penguins, and there's ice caves to explore. But it was actually developed for burn patients to be played during the process of their wounds being cleaned, which is widely known to be the single most painful medical procedure, even with extreme doses of morphine and other really powerful painkillers. The patients will report being in extreme pain 91% of the time, I mean, the worst pain you can possibly feel. When these same patients play the video game during the treatments, they actually experience significantly less pain. They report that the game reduces pain more than the drugs that they're receiving, more than morphine, and many of them have no conscious awareness of the pain for up to 90% of the time. And it turns out, you know, you can put gamers playing this game in fMRI machines and see the blood flow activity in their brain to try to figure out how is this possible. And it turns out that they're not being distracted from the pain. Their brain literally is not processing the pain because it's so absorbed in the game. All the blood in the brain is flowing to the problem-solving regions of the brain, the visual processing regions of the brain. There's no blood left over to process the pain signals being sent from the nerves. So it's not distraction. You're actually deciding, where do I want to spend my cognitive resources? And if you can be in control of that, you can stop the brain from having any conscious awareness, you know, of these pain signals. It's kind of profound.
We're speaking with Jane McGonigal on the Book Report. How does one make the leap from games to gameful?
Well, you know, it really is that process of identifying what games make you better at and learning to think about that as a part of who you are, as a part of your core identity.
Why is adopting a secret identity actually a good thing?
Right. So, I mean, this goes back to the super better method, you know, which is where we're trying to use the same ways of thinking in games in our everyday lives. And a secret identity is a way of having a kind of heroic persona that you feel you embody when you're facing a really tough challenge. Adopting this heroic persona has been found to help people more effectively focus on the things that they control that are true strengths. And it could be your creativity, it could be your ability to love and be loved by others, you know, whatever is core to you and your strengths. You craft an identity that helps you feel like you embody those strengths, and then you're more likely to bring them to your challenge.
Could you just briefly introduce us to the rules of the Super Better Method?
Yeah, I mean, there are seven rules. The first is to challenge yourself, and we ask you to identify a challenge that you want to embrace. But we have you frame it with that same kind of positive, what can I get better at goal that you would have in a video game. There are six other rules, you know, how do you collect power-ups, things that make you feel stronger in everyday life. How do you identify the bad guys and stay engaged with them instead of running away from them or trying to suppress or avoid them? How do you creatively tackle the things that cause you stress or pain or frustration? We have you do quests every day, which are little things that you can do in the next 24 hours to be true to your core values, the things that matter most to you, which it can be hard to do if you're suffering, if you're injured, or you're depressed. We have you recruit allies who will know what your power-ups are so they can bring them to you. They know who your bad guys are so they can help you battle them. We have you adopt the secret identity, and then you go for epic wins. And the epic win is a kind of really positive outcome that you could not have predicted before you started.
You know, when I picked up your book, I was not a believer, but after I read it, I was so impressed and really energized, and I'm giving it to my son now for him to read. It's really mind-blowing in a way.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, that is my goal, to blow minds.
Well, Jane, I can see it too. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
Bye now.
Bye.